Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by West End Orthopedic Clinic, TGI Fridays of Richmond, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, Janie Montgomery Scott Brokerage, TheSaber.com, Virginia Athletics Foundation, LaMare Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, and Kelleher Heating and Air. Who's Talking is on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoo fans. This is Jim Hobgood alongside my sidekick co-host, Mr. Wahoo himself, Frank Maloney. We bring you UVA Athletics every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. here on Sports Radio 910, and we are delighted that you have joined us tonight.
This is Frank, and tonight we will review the gutsy 20-9 comeback victory by the Wahoos over their longtime ACC rival, Maryland. The Hoos are now 2-0 in the ACC and leading the Coastal Division. Jimbo, all I got to say is, how about Nate Collins? What a defensive end. What a play to pick off a 32-yard, pick off a pass and then run it 32 yards in for the game-changing touchdown there at the end of the third quarter. To me, just a remarkable play. Reminded me a little bit of Chris Long.
I have a confession to make. Is now the appropriate time?
No.
I was watching the contest in my family room alongside my son, and of course, Virginia kicks the field goal to make it 9-6. And I had my little channel surfing thing, so I switch over to another game for a couple of minutes, switch back to the Virginia game, and happen to notice the score is 13-9, and thinking, what in the heck happened? Whatever it was very good, but I confess that I missed the interception touchdown. Saw it, thankfully, later on replay, but certainly the decisive play in that game.
Well, certainly a remarkable play. The ball was actually tipped by linebacker Darren Childs, who was filling a gap, and he got his hand up and tipped it. And somehow Collins was able to wheel around and get both hands on it in the rain. At that point, the rain was really coming down. So I think for a defensive lineman to make that play just to catch the ball was remarkable. But then to have the good sense to turn and face in the proper direction and take off and then outrun the Maryland wide receiver who tried to come up from behind and strip him. And supposedly, Nate said that Rodney McLeod was yelling to him, look out, look out, look out, as if a wide receiver was chasing him down.
So. Yeah, always a positive thing when you run in the right direction. And that was, what, about 30 yards?
32 yards,
to be precise.
Let's prompt everybody. We have some great guests lined up for the show tonight. Former UVA quarterback and ACC Player of the Year, Matt Blunden, will be joining us shortly. In addition, we have a special guest, UVA wrestling head coach Steve Garland, of the number 17 Wahoo wrestling team will be joining us later in the show to tell us, you know, how the Wahoos have suddenly become a national player.
If for whatever reason you don't have easy access to Sports Radio 910 on your radio dial, we also stream live on sportsradio910.com. We're also available on thesaber.com. We continue to encourage you to send questions and comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com. You also may call into the show at 345-0910. Our shows are archived if you need to catch it later on thesaber.com. And we, largely thanks to Frank, have set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan. Frank, we started the discussion of the Virginia win, but you got to really take your hat off to the defense. And I know Al Groh does a lot of the coaching of the defense himself, and the defense really throughout the whole year, but certainly on Saturday, was key to that victory.
Well, this is truly the fourth game in a row where the Virginia defense has really played well enough for the Cavaliers to win. And it all started down there on that road trip down to Hattiesburg against Southern Miss and the Golden Eagles. And other than those kickoff coverage disasters in that game, since that time, the special teams have played a little bit better. But looking at the 3-4 defense, as many people love it as detract it, you have to say that it's working because we've beaten both Carolina and Maryland on the road, two of our biggest rivals, our two oldest rivals. And it's very exciting to be 2-0 in the Coastal.
Yeah, there's one big rival yet to come later in the campaign, however. But nevertheless, you're right. I mean, the only undefeated team in the Atlantic Coast Conference as far as conference play is concerned. We'll probably talk about it at greater length later in the game or the broadcast about the Georgia Tech game upcoming. But why don't we touch briefly, since we mentioned the ACC last week, some big games, and also three games in particular strike me as we look to the coming week. The Florida State at North Carolina game, which is tomorrow night in Chapel Hill. Certainly the Georgia Tech-Virginia game. And the other game that's kind of interesting as I look at it, Clemson at Miami. Big game for both of those teams on Saturday afternoon at 3:30.
No doubt. Those are big clashes for the conference. Just taking a quick look back, pretty amazing that, Clemson was able to pretty much just steamroll Wake Forest in a game that I thought Wake Forest would come out blazing, needing to get a W. That game was 38-3 Clemson. Boston College exploded on NC State, and I'm not sure how many people thought that that game would go the other way, but I don't think anybody predicted that Boston College would ring up 52. And then Georgia Tech with their mammoth win at home, with most of the country watching, defeated Virginia Tech in a game of two ranked opponents that was billed as being a big game and lived up to that billing, I thought.
Yeah, we're still only halfway home through the schedule, but you just look at it at the moment, it looks like the Coastal Division has some of the stronger teams with Boston College, Wake Forest, Clemson, I guess, fighting it out for maybe the possibility to go to the championship game in December from the Atlantic Division. But certainly Georgia Tech playing very well, the big win over Virginia Tech. Miami, of course, has had a great year with the one hiccup in Blacksburg. Maybe they don't like to play in the rain. And, of course, Virginia in the mix, as well as, even Duke only has one loss in the league thus far, so you can't really rule them out at this stage.
Absolutely not. It's a scheduling oddity to me. Virginia's only played two ACC games. Still, until this coming Saturday, will not have played a home game against an ACC opponent. And it's sort of bizarre. I mean, Boston College has played five ACC games. Looking at the rest of the list, Georgia Tech has already played five ACC games, getting ready to play their sixth ACC game. This could be a huge break for Virginia as they try to transition and implement the new offense and experiment with all the new players and, getting the quarterback situation settled down and getting folks acclimated.
Well, the other thing Georgia Tech has going for them, should they win in Charlottesville on Saturday, that would give them a win over Virginia. A win over Virginia Tech, and they've already played Miami. So a lot of the games that you would think would be competitive games for them have already been played and in large part already won by the Yellow Jackets. So they certainly could be in a strong position if they come to Charlottesville and win, which hopefully will not happen. I think we may have our first guest on the line. Frank, if you want to introduce him.
Well, we're very fortunate tonight to have former ACC Player of the Year in 1991. He was a quarterback for Virginia. He also moonlighted on the basketball court and was quite a player for the Wahoos, which Jim and I were joking about earlier before we came on air. I had forgotten that Matt had been a co-captain of the team. I was well aware of his ability to ring up 19 touchdowns in his final year at Virginia, and he put 1,900 yards of pass completions up there, and no interceptions.
That was amazing. Matt, how did you accomplish that one? You at least recognized who you were supposed to throw it to.
It was preparation and luck.
Yeah, did you ever have one that you threw over the middle that got tipped and you thought, oh, my goodness, that one's going to get picked off?
Actually, in our very first game that happened against Maryland, I think I threw one right between the numbers of a cornerback and he just dropped it. So from that on, I got a little luck and had a lot of time sitting behind Sean practicing too, though.
Well, that's interesting. It brings me to this. What was it like to first practice every day with Sean Moore and then also to back him up and then ultimately to come in off the bench when Sean would get hurt, particularly in that 1990 season when Virginia was setting all kinds of records?
Now, let's get something straight. Sean got to practice with me. I didn't get to practice with Sean. Okay?
I'll tell him.
Sean and I were roommates the whole time, my whole time playing with him, and it was just, you know, we had a great time. He's quite a character, as you know.
Right.
And we had a really good relationship, so it wasn't a competitive thing. I think the fact that I was playing basketball as well kind of allowed me to, you know, enjoy that piece of it and get a lot of competition in. So, you know, we had good time together, and we pushed each other more than anything. And when I got a chance to go in and play when he was hurt, it was really like, you know, you get nervous as a young guy, but you step right in there and you have the support of everyone around you, and it was a really exciting time.
Matt, since I'm a basketball guy, let me ask you, I mean, how difficult was it to play both sports? We think of you and Terry Kirby as two individuals that did it successfully, but it really is not done that often.
No, it was tough, mostly scholastically. I mean, you get a little exhausted in terms of getting home just on a daily basis, but then as the years go on, you know, my last year I was pretty tired. I think there's a cumulative effect of everything, and but as you're, you know, doing it, you don't think about that. You're just enjoying the bowl games, you're enjoying the NCAA tournaments, you're enjoying hanging out with the guys and just staying on the move. And people have asked me, you know, was I part of a fraternity at UVA? And A, there's no way in the world I had time to do something like that. And B, I was part of a fraternity of athletes, and that was quite a group to be a part of and a lot of fun.
Did you play both sports in high school as well?
Yeah, I played baseball too, and it was just something I've always done. I came from a very athletic area up in Pennsylvania. It was just sports were something that everyone did and was highly valued, and I think it gave an outlet to a lot of kids that didn't have many other things.
The one question I had from a basketball standpoint as a follow-up, I did notice in your statistics that you were 0-for-8 from outside of three-point land. Were any of those close to going in? I mean, did you let a couple of those go and think that one's home free?
You know, the first time I ever heard a statistic, I think it was, it started out as 0-for-3, then 0-for-5, now it's 0-for-8. I guess I don't know. More getting attributed to me.
Well, they're cheating you on the ACC stats and the media guide or something there. But was Coach Holland excited when you cut loose those threes?
I don't think I ever cut one loose. The only one I ever really remember was the end of the half of the North Carolina game, and it got blocked. So
okay.
I didn't have a shot. Now, as you know, my part of on the basketball team had nothing to do with outside that 3-point arc, unless I was getting back on defense.
Little defense and rebounding, the so-called grunt work, huh?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It probably in a weird way kind of prepared me to be a quarterback, getting banged around so much. So, people asked what was more physical, and I'll tell you what, playing ACC basketball in the paint was very physical, and it was enjoyable, but it was very physical.
Talk a little bit about your NFL career. I know you were with both the Chiefs and the Lions for, 4 or 5 years. How did you transition from college to pro football?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny when you talk to athletes about this, a lot of them will say the same thing, that the jump from high school to college, what's the biggest change? Speed. What's the jump from college to pros? More speed. And you're running away from guys that are faster than you, and so you don't get very far. But that jump also was in terms of business, and it's a tough situation when you get up at that level after having a successful career somewhat in college and just not getting a shot to play, or things don't really work out. And that, you know, at times was frustrating, but the overall experience of being in the NFL was great. I have some lifelong friends out of it, and I have a perspective, you know, a unique perspective on things that I can bring into now my job as a teacher and as a coach.
Matt, we've got about 30 seconds. Well, actually, we're getting ready to go to break. If you can hang on for a minute, we'd like to come back and continue our dialogue.
Sure.
Thank you.